From the City of Angels off the Pacific Ocean, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be across the nation or on the world. I'm George Norrie, and welcome to Coast AM next hour. Stunning out-of-body stories with William Buhlman, author of Adventures Beyond the Body. Looking forward to talking with William. Well, don't worry, not just yet. Earth could be in for a neighborhood dispute with a Death Star, according to an Australian astronomer. A spectacular rotating pinwheel system just down the astronomical road from Earth, 8,000 light-years away, includes an unstable star that could explode. 8 years ago, WR-104 was discovered in the constellation Sagittarius by Sydney University astronomer Peter Tuthill. He says even a short gamma ray burst from this star, which could turn into a supernova and explode with the strength, could zap away half the Earth's ozone layer, drastically increasing the amount of deadly space radiation that penetrates our atmosphere. He says we probably have hundreds of thousands of years before it blows, so we have plenty of time to come up with some answers. He is not certain whether Earth is in WR-104's axis. Nearly 40,000 people learned this week that a trip to the doctor may have made them sick. In a type of scandal more often associated with third world countries, a Las Vegas clinic was found to be reusing syringes and vials of medication for nearly 4 years. The shoddy practices may have led to an outbreak of the potentially fatal hepatitis C virus and exposed patients to HIV. The discovery led to the biggest public health notification operation in U.S. history and brought demands for investigations and caused scores of lawyers now to seek out patients at risk for infections. Thousands of patients out there are being urged to be tested for the viruses. Six acute cases of hepatitis C have already been confirmed. The surgical center and five affiliated clinics have been closed. Just a few months ago, I saw Patrick Swayze, the actor, at my Greek restaurant that I go to every once in a while. The Dirty Dancing star has now been diagnosed with pancreatic cancer and is currently undergoing treatment, according to a representative for him. The statement was issued following a report earlier in the day by the National Enquirer, in which the tabloid said that Swayze, he's 55 years old, had 5 weeks to live because doctors in late January had diagnosed pancreatic cancer that had spread to other organs. Swayze's representative says the star continues his normal work schedule, including working on several unnamed projects, and that Swayze's doctor says the reports of terminal cancer are unfounded. He was a good guy, very nice, very polite. Police say a man has been arrested in Port St. Lucie, Florida, for punching his wife and saying he was going to kill her and her children with a gun and by using voodoo. A police spokesman says the 34-year-old man has been arrested on charges of domestic battery, hindering communication with law enforcement, and domestic assault. Oil rallied to a record near $105 a barrel after OPEC decided to maintain output, and federal data showed lower U.S. crude inventories. And you should be lucky if you're going to be heading down to the Big Sur coastline anytime soon in California. Well, you probably want to be careful. Fill up before you go. There's a gas station in Gorda that is selling premium unleaded gas for $5.39 a gallon. Hold on to your wallet. And if you can do well out the premium, if you can just use regular, $5.19. In a moment, Gerald Celente, our expert on trends, will be our special guest. Man. Hey, barely a year into the Civil War, President Abraham Lincoln suggested buying slaves for $400 apiece until a gradual emancipation plan that would bring peace at less cost than several months of the Civil War. He did some figuring and said, my gosh, it costs $2 million a day to keep this Civil War going. Let's just buy the slaves, let them all go free, and it'll be cheaper for us. Well, the plan never worked. Okay, in a moment, Gerald Celente joins us. Trends, that's next on Coast to Coast AM. Well, here we go now with an hour of Gerald Celente, founder and director of the Trends Research Institute. He's the number one trend analyst, also publisher of the Trends Journal newsletter. So many things have been going on. I just thought we'd bring in Gerald and chat with him about it. Gerald, how are you?
Hey, thank you, George. Thanks for having me on. I'm doing great.
Well, you know, I was looking at these trends, and I said, you know what? It's time to have Gerald Celente on. Because they're going the wrong way, Gerald. You look at trends, you like them to go the right way, not the way they seem to be going now.
Well, you know, as we look at them, you know, we try not to say which is the right way or the wrong way, but we can say that they're going in a way now that is really pointing to the panic of 08 that we said would happen back in 07. We said that Americans would wake up in 2008 and it would be the worst economic year of what any living person is ever going to see. And it's happening, and it's not making the news. For example, today, clearly, the biggest news that everyone should know, and you talked about it, but the media isn't, is that gasoline, that oil prices went up $5 a barrel in one day. And you can go to any of the network evening news broadcasts, and there's not a mention of it. They're only talking about the presidential reality show that's been playing. Then you go to CNBC when the market closed at 4 p.m. Eastern Time. They barely talked about oil going up $5 a barrel. Now, I know you have a lot of people that drive coast to coast overnight, truckers, and I could only imagine, I don't know what it cost them to fill up one of those rigs, but I'm going to guess probably in the neighborhood of $700.
Well, and diesel now has surpassed the price of gasoline.
That's right. So it's really happening here, and this is why we say things, you know, we look at them for what they are and not the way that we want them to be. You're going to see a breakup of the corporate model. For example, in agriculture, it's agribusiness is based upon growing and producing large quantities and shipping them large, far distances. Well, they're not going to be able to do that anymore. The cost of transportation is prohibitive. So what does that mean? Well, local grows. Now it's the whole buy local trend. People moving back to small towns. The models that thrived up until World War II, when the suburban sprawl mania hadn't caught on yet. So it's a great opportunity also for entrepreneurs. And one that we've never seen before is going to come about.
You know, as we look at these trends that are out there, what is the next president going to jump into when he or she takes office and starts running the country next year? It's got to be a mess.
It's going to be a mess, we forecast, before they get in. And the public is going to look to their presidential candidates to bail them out. And when we analyze their programs, it's not going to make one bit of difference. They can talk about readjusting the World Trade Organization and NAFTA treaties by, you know, enforcing more environmental and labor standards. That makes great press. It doesn't make a bit of difference to what's going on. To talk about creating green-collar jobs, you know, yeah, that's all great and wonderful, but it's bigger than that. This is going to be a global meltdown. Just look not only at the price of oil, the price of all the commodities, the price of gold. This is just the beginning of an inflationary spiral that, as we had said, this is the time to remember, this is buy bucks. We're going to see by the time that the smoke clears, the dollar is going to be worth about a dime on the dollar.
Jeez.
A dime on the dollar.
A dime on the dollar. Current events form future trends. What's going on with oil prices isn't only because of supply and demand. It's because oil's based on petrodollars. And petrodollars, when you look what the dollar is doing against the euro and key currencies, it's at the low against key currencies as it was in 1973, a 1973 low, when Richard Nixon took the nation off the gold standard. So when we're looking at these trends, current events forming future trends, a Brazilian company just brought out a major meat producer, meat packing company in the United States. So foreign companies, it's not that they're going to be only dumping dollars on the market. They can buy up the country for dimes on the dollar.
If you've got cash right now, Gerald, what do you recommend we do? Sit on it? If let's say we want to get into real estate and buy.
I'm getting into real estate. I'm buying a building.
You're doing it now?
Yes, where I just bought a building a few years ago, and I'm buying another in a small town, Kingston, New York. It was the capital of New York State in the Revolutionary War days, the most historic corner in the U.S., the only place where there's a stone building from the 17th century on each corner. It's the perfect model. You could walk to where you want to go. There's mass transportation not far, and it's the beautiful old buildings, the old neighborhoods. Old neighborhoods is what's going to be the big opportunities. We have an aging population. We have people that don't want to drive that far to get what they need, and it costs too much to drive. And then around the area, because we're up in the beautiful Hudson Valley, well, there's all the farming, local produce, organic produce, high quality. And then we have the Hudson River, mass transportation, the New York State Thruway, mass transportation. So these are the kind of opportunities that life is going to go on. It's just going to go on differently. And during this downturn, this is the time when fortunes are going to be made. The greatest revenge right now is creativity.
Absolutely. Now, I don't want to be like Chicken Little saying the sky is falling, but the sky is falling, Gerald.
The sky is falling, George. $5 a barrel, oil went up. That should be the headline news, and people should be pulling their hair out.
And up there in Gorda, California, $5 plus a gallon.
I heard that.
Unbelievable.
That's right. So what's this going to do to the economy? It's going to crash it. By the way, there's a Nobel laureate economist, Joseph Stiglitz, just came out with a new book that calculated the cost of the Iraq War. It's about $3 trillion now. But one of the points, he used to work for the World Bank, and he recommends doing what the United States tells all these countries around the world that get into financial trouble and they need to borrow money or get bailed out. And that is to do the opposite of what America's doing now. And that's raising interest rates so that we stop this de facto devaluation of the dollar and cut government spending. They're doing the two opposite things. They're lowering interest rates, and the biggest job creation going on is new jobs in the government. And he also has a great line. He said the World Bank is filled with third-rate economists from first-rate universities.
Well, Gerald, So how do we get out of this mess, or do we? Do we have to take the hit?
This is the great contraction. All of this greed, all of this. Look, George, we're all old enough. All the listeners are intelligent people. We know what's going on. Who ever heard of a CEO from companies like Home Depot and others that ruin the stock value of the company, and then they're given these platinum parachutes of $200-300 million?
Yeah, exactly.
Who ever heard of people making money like this?
It's crazy.
And this is what's killing the economy. It's the greed that's going on. So something ugly is dying, and from it, something great could be born. This is an entrepreneurial opportunity, the likes of which we're never going to see in many, many years. I believe that this is the beginning of a new renaissance.
Kind of reminds me of the Depression. Those with cash had the ability to rebound, and they did really well, didn't they?
They did great. And those with cash and brains and the willingness to take risk are going to be the ones that thrive. Look, as conservation, we wrote about it in the Trends Journal, conservation engineers, what kind of products, services that exist off the that are off the shelf, new ones coming down the line that can produce savings in any way possible. Efficiency experts, Yankee frugality, waste not, want not. Clean foods. Look what happened a few weeks ago. Who would believe we live in a country that they could allow to sell beef when you saw these poor cows that are half dead being lifted on forklifts and being thrown into the slaughterhouse to be sent out as meat for all of us to eat? So you get clean foods, premium products. The people that are going to make money in this economy are the ones that raise the quality bar. You go where the money is, 30% of the economy of a 300 million person economy is going to put their money and their mind where their mouth is. Life is going to go on.
Gerald, let's talk also a little bit beyond the economy. Where are we going in terms of trends as a nation? I mean, are we at this point seriously thinking about going into Iran? Can we afford this? Iraq is practically breaking our back. And let me ask you this, too. How much of the Iraq war and the money we have spent there is affecting what's happening to us today?
It's beyond the Iraq war. It's what President Eisenhower warned us all about when he left office. And for my money, I believe he was the last great president of the United States. This is a man that was the supreme commander of the Allied forces. I mean, he was a real commander-in-chief. He became president, a Republican, for two terms. And as he's leaving office, we all know the story, he warned the nation that the military-industrial complex was taking over the country. It was going to rob us of the sweat of our labors, the genius of our scientists, and the future of our children. And I say, if anybody doesn't believe it, well, they should have talked to Eisenhower and told him he was full of baloney. I mean, nobody would ever do that. And it's this whole military complex has robbed the nation of its future and continues to do so. And the Iraq War is only another long chapter in it. And we go back again. All these trends don't happen in a vacuum. I began by saying what Richard Nixon did in 1973 because they had to bail us out of the excess spending of the Vietnam War. And so they took us off the gold standard. And from that time on, the standard of the American people has been declining. It's right there in the numbers, and it can't be denied.
We thought it was going up, but it really wasn't.
Oh, no, not at all. Look, again, many of us are old enough to remember when our moms stayed at home.
Yeah.
And I came from a family of seven, and my father was a hard worker, and my mother was able to stay home and raise the family.
Well, Gerald, tell us what's new, trendsresearch.com. We're going to take calls in just a moment with you, but what have you been doing?
Well, the biggest play that we're watching right now, for what we know the most about, and there are many commodities that are going up, but you know I've been talking about gold for a long time, and now gold is going to break out into a new level, and it's going to very soon, we believe, break past 1,000. When it goes past 1,000, the marks to watch then are 1,200 and 1,500. From 1,200 and 1,500, we expect a correction, maybe losing 200 points, even three. And then after that, we're looking at it to move to around $2,000 an ounce. Oil right now at $104 a barrel has really reached its inflationary high of when you account for inflation since 1980 when it peaked. And now it's worth that 1980 value. Gold has to go to about $2,200 an ounce to be worth its 1980 all-time high value of $875.
And it just might, Gerald.
We believe it is. And we don't give investment advice, but I'll tell you what I personally, I I'm in the commodities market playing gold and have been for quite a while. So that's what I'm doing.
Well, you know, we've been talking about gold for years on the program. I've seen it go up from the 345 level when I was talking about it. Astronomical return. Gerald, stay with us. We're going to take phone calls with people, okay?
Oh, I'd love to. Thank you.
It's Gerald Celente. He's an expert in trends, and he'll be with you and me in just a moment on Coast to Coast AM. And if you need to email me, that's simple. George@coasttocoastam.com. Well, I don't know how they do it, but Amazon.com has got our paperback edition of our book, Worker in the Light, and they've got it on sale at a great price, and I don't know how many of them they have, but I do know that they're trying to get rid of them as quickly as they can before we get into some of our next work. So if you haven't picked up the book yet, Amazon.com has it at a super price. And you'll see the link there under feature article at coasttocoastam.com to make it easier for you. Gerald, you were just a chat on our stream link a couple of weeks ago. How'd you enjoy that moment?
Oh, I loved it.
Aren't they great? Great questions.
Yeah.
Streamlink members. I mean, they're just, they're into this.
And, well, it's a great opportunity to exchange ideas and provide information. And that's what we do. We have no agenda. We're political atheists. And we're just putting out information that will help people go into the future with a prepared mind.
Now let's go to the phones. As a matter of fact, we'll go to our first-time caller line. Charles, where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Savannah, Georgia, listening on WTKS 1290 AM.
Super. Thanks, Charles. Go ahead.
Mr. Celente, with the dollar being off the gold standard, like you mentioned earlier, would it help the economy at all with the value of gold going insane like it is to put the dollar back on the gold standard?
It would be almost impossible at this point to do that. I believe someone came out with an estimate. It would mean that gold would be worth about $40,000 an ounce because of the amount of the United States debt and the amount of cash in the money supply. So it's past that point at this point. Probably could happen at a later time if we really, really slow down the economy and contract. And by the way, you know, I'd like to say that in my lifetime, in my business experiences, I've had ups and downs. You know, as an entrepreneur, you know, there are times, and George knows this very well, you know, that if you're talking about things that are unpopular in the culture and they don't want to hear it, you know, your business isn't so good. The point being, I've had to contract at different points of my career. It's not the worst thing to save and to be frugal and to do things intelligently. So in order for us to go back on a standard where the dollar is worth something, we have to go through a contraction, and we all have to get a bit smarter about it.
Excellent. Does that help you out, Charles?
Thank you for taking my call.
You are quite welcome, my friend. East of the Rockies, you're on the air with us. Hi there.
Hi, this is Steve calling from Connecticut.
Hey, Steve.
Hi. What I wanted to ask, I heard your guest earlier talking about oil and commodities, and, you know, I hear a lot of people saying that oil and gas and coal are just going to be too expensive and too dirty to keep using as a power source, and then we're going to have to move to uranium, to nuclear power. And I wonder what you think of that, if you agree, if you see it's going to start happening. So far, it's not in this country, but what do you think?
Well, we believe what's going to happen is that commodities of all nature are going to go off the charts in terms of cost because of the steady decline of the U.S. dollar. It's a very simple formula. The further the dollar falls, the less it's worth. The less it's worth, the less it buys. And in the real world, you call that inflation. And so you're going to get to the point where coal, oil, as you point out, are going to become very expensive. But necessity is the mother of invention. There's going to become a time, we believe, when oil and fossil fuels will not be the prime oil, the prime energy that drives the world economy. That's a way off. We don't think it's going to be in nuclear, in wind, maybe solar. But we see the big breakthroughs coming in areas such as hydrino power, charged clusters, permanent magnets, zero-point energy. and yes, even the possibility of cold fusion. And we're not experts in this, but we follow it. And for those that know more about the subject and have the aptitude, minds to understand the engineering complexities, we recommend Infinite Energy Magazine. Their website is infinite-energy. Necessity is the mother of invention. And as I said earlier, I'm not a gloom and doomer about what's going on. I think that this is a very healthy contraction. Greed is being wrenched out of the system along with waste, and we have the opportunity to rise at a much higher level than we've been going at. And so we see the future becoming a bright one after the pain is really realized and dealt with.
Infinite Energy Magazine, the founding editor, was a dear friend of ours and regular guest, Eugene Malov.
Oh, I know.
What happened there.
Yes.
What a tragedy.
Yes.
Has that been solved yet? I don't know if it has.
Not that I know of. And it is a tragedy. He's a young man and very dedicated, as you well know, to pushing forth solutions and opportunities that would be for the betterment of all living things.
And then someone kills him. Very, very peculiar.
Very mysteriously.
Yep.
In a little town in New Hampshire.
It was in his parents' house. He went in there to check on the house. And apparently this was a robbery, they say. I don't know. I don't know, Gerald.
No, I don't either.
You know, you keep looking at, you know, the old One Step Beyond show where that guy invented a capsule that you would drop into water and it would turn into fuel and you could burn it in a car. In that fictitious television show, the guy disappeared and was never heard from again.
How many of our presidents have been assassinated? What was that book out that all the people, how many people that knew the Clintons no longer are around?
You know? It is weird.
You know, so
bad luck, I guess, huh?
Yeah, bad luck, yeah.
Wild card line, you're on the air, James. Hi there.
Hi, how you guys doing?
Good.
I'm from Bethany Beach, Delaware.
Okay.
Considering what's going on with oil right now, the crisis in the Middle East, what's going on with Venezuela, I have a strange feeling that rapidly hundreds of thousands of people will start losing their jobs. And do you see, if not major civil unrest, a possible civil war striking off in this country? Because considering simply just the cost of fuel, not other things. Literally hundreds of thousands of people are going to start losing their jobs. And some
enough is enough. You know, it's like a pressure cooker that's going to blow up.
Yes, absolutely. And I've got a terrible, terrible feeling inside that that there's going to be major civil unrest, if not a new type of civil war in this country. And it's going to be fueled by fuel.
it's between the haves and the have-nots.
Yes.
And the divide continues. What's your take on all this, Gerald?
Well, it's something, James, we've been writing about for quite a while now. We believe it is going to happen, and we're going to see a downturn worse than the Great Depression. And when, you know, they paper over what was going on during the Great Depression, there were riots going on all over the country. And it wasn't that Roosevelt, by the way, as any economist knows, got us out of the Great Depression. World War II did that. But he was able to keep the lid on unrest. And it's going to happen again. Look at the heinous crimes that are being committed with people snapping almost on a weekly basis. Again, we're all old enough to know that kids weren't blown away in high schools and colleges, in Wendy's and in Burger Kings. You know, kids weren't thrown off bridges and whole families weren't slaughtered the night on Christmas Eve. There's one crime after another. Robberies are going to increase. The gap between the haves and the have-nots keeps escalating. When you look at the numbers, just purely in the numbers, and you see the amount of minority people not graduating high school, and even ones now, people that graduate college, what's the best future you can hope for? A job at Sports Authority? So you're going to see, as what happened during the Great Depression, and as what happens in countries that go from first class to third rate, you're going to see more kidnappings. you're going to see more violent crimes committed. It's going to happen. And the response is going to be more police, clamp down on violent crime, and build the prison industrial complex, which is going to be, of course, the wrong answer. So, yes, we're going to see that, unfortunately. And, George, you asked before about is the U.S., will they go to war against Iran? You know, we don't know, but it's getting to look like that. And it looks like something, as we all know, that's going on now in South America.
It'll bankrupt us, Joe.
It will bankrupt us. It will go into a depression worse than we're even forecasting, and it will be the beginning of World War III.
If this happens.
And even if we go to war with Venezuela, whether it's through proxy, with Colombia, whatever happens, the more war we get into, the quicker World War III begins. These regional wars are going to go global.
Next up, Wildcard Line. Hello, Hazel. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, how are you?
We're well, thank you.
I have a question. With wheat by the bushel, $25, and oil what it is, does your guest possibly see oil going up to about $300-some-odd per barrel? And I'll hang up and listen off the air.
That would be three times what it is right now, Gerald.
Anything is possible, Hazel. Watch the dollar. It's the only game to look at. And James made another point about unemployment. Watch the unemployment numbers that come out on Friday. It's going to be a big indicator of what's going on.
Can you believe those numbers, Gerald? Do they fudge? They play around with them?
Read my lips. No new taxes. I didn't have sex with that woman, Monica Lewinsky. Saddam Hussein has weapons of mass destruction.
No unemployment.
The figure says...
People are getting hired.
There's not a thing that the government says that I believe.
Was there a time you did believe?
When I didn't know any better.
Oh, so you really never believed?
I believed what I was taught to believe. But then, as I learned, and I used to work as a government affairs specialist in Washington from 1973 to 1979. My first job after graduate school, I ran the mayoral campaign in Yonkers, and the payoff they gave me as they were grooming me was to send me to Albany, and I was the executive assistant to the secretary of the New York State Senate. It was the worst job I ever had in my life. To watch grown men grovel is a disgusting spectacle. And when you work in politics, that's all it is. They use these terms, George, pork barrel projects. How about doing dirty deals with your friends and getting other people to pay for it?
Yeah, isn't that something?
And that's what's happened to
OPM. That's what it's called. Davini writes us from Colorado Springs. He says, "Fearmonger, enough said." I just emailed him back and said, "Vinny, look out the window."
Well, you know, the economic shot was just heard. Just an economic shot that was heard around the world happened yesterday, and the only place it wasn't heard was in the United States of America. Oil went up $5 a barrel. Unheard of.
Yep. And did you also read where Dubai may not bail out Citibank after all?
Hey, that's right. And I would like to comment on that as well. As we know, Citigroup had to borrow money from Dubai. And we saw, Merrill Lynch? We saw Bear Stearns, Morgan Stanley, the premier banks, the largest banks and brokerages in the world. And they're going to Singapore, Kuwait, Korea, China. They call these, George, another lying of language. They call them sovereign wealth funds. How about foreign countries? Can anyone say foreign countries? Foreign countries are buying up the jewels of the service sector economy, the only thing that we have left after they sold out our manufacturing base for dimes on the dollar. I make this point because when you sell the banks, you sell the country. It's the golden rule. Whoever has the gold rules.
Yep.
And now foreigners are going to be ruling a major financial assets of America.
Let's go to our next wild card line. Michael, take it away.
I guess, like two questions if I can ask it. He was talking about Citigroup there. Actually, my home is financed through Citigroup. Now, my question is this. Well, my main question is this. If I have cash on hand, should I pay down my mortgage or hold on to that in reserve to pay mortgages if the economy turns real bad?
Donald Trump once said cash is king. What do you think, Gerald? Should he keep his cash or what?
Well, we wouldn't pay down debt, as a matter of fact, and we're not giving financial advice. I want to make this clear. What I'm doing is I'm borrowing money. Because I can afford to pay it back when the time comes.
If you have cash flow, it's a great time to borrow.
It's a great time to borrow money because you're going to just pay it back with cheaper dollars. And that's why I'm borrowing. I can afford to pay it back.
So you'd recommend he keep the money in the bank, perhaps, or what?
What I'm also doing personally is I'm hedging my bets by buying other foreign currencies. So I'm keeping some in dollars and I keep some in euros.
Okay. All right, and I understand you're not giving financial advice.
That's
because
what
you can't
I do.
That. That's exactly. Let's go east of the Rockies. You're on the air with us. Hi, John.
Hi, how are you guys?
Good. We're doing well. Thanks.
Oh, I had an oil question, but somebody mentioned Citibank, and I'm so tempted to something I discovered recently. But I will ask the oil question first because that's a hopefully straightforward question. About 7 or 8 years ago, I believe that the price of oil was $15 to $20 a barrel. Now, it's 2008, and gas has only doubled, but the oil is up by 7 or 8 times as it was back then. And now, I know oil is used for other things, but can someone explain to me why the oil was that price then as opposed to what it is now, and gasoline is, well, so let's just say it was $1.60 in 2001, and now it averages about $3.20. Is that too simple of a question? I feel kind of dumb asking that, but someone's got to tell me how and why that is.
Well, it's not a dumb question, and you know there are a lot of variables regarding a barrel of oil and a gallon of gas. But what we're looking at, in many economists as well, is $4 a gallon gasoline by the summer driving season. And remember also to that go into the supermarket. George, you mentioned about the government not giving us accurate unemployment numbers. Look at the criminal activity in calculating inflation numbers. I mean, they don't include food and fuel into the core inflation, and they roll out some moron that tries to make you convince you that that's the proper thing to do. So you know these inflationary numbers are going to, you're going to start feeling them at the pump, you're going to start feeling them in your pocketbook, and you're going to start seeing it at the cash register.
And you're also seeing crazy people very depressed over who knows what. Why killing people in restaurants, places that you wouldn't even expect it.
You know, remember the movie In Cold Blood by Kuma?
Oh, yeah.
The book, rather.
Yep.
And the movie. You know, it was a shock, right? It was, oh, my God, how could that happen? Now cold blood happens just about every week.
It does. It really does. Gerald, we're out of time. Another full show with you coming up one day, okay?
Oh, I'd love to. Thank you so much.
Always a pleasure to have the Trendmaster on, Gerald Celente. His website is trendsresearch.com. And I'll be back in a moment. William Buhlman joins us. We're going out of our bodies.